All right, good. We normally hang out a little more, but I want to start recording because I had a thought, which is they got Johnny Knoxville. I actually like Johnny Knoxville I involved in wrestling. It feels kind of like a good fit, you know?
Yeah.
But then I realize why it's not hitting. It's because he's just randomly fighting Sami Zayn. And then that's like not even playing toward the cool element of Johnny Knoxville. If Johnny Knoxville was like going against like Jeff Hardy or like or Darby Allin
I
or
was just gonna
something,
say Darby Allin.
right? And you're
Stunt
like,
based wrestlers.
yeah, stunt based wrestlers, and you're like, yo, you've been acting crazy, but like I'm fucking Johnny Knoxville, bro. You know what I mean?
You don't know crazy.
I'm making real money being crazy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then like that would be why is the writing so fucking terrible in wrestling? I thought of that in 4 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's they're just caught up in tradition. And not, and they want, they're sticking to some ideal that is not only doesn't exist anymore, but is now corny, deeply corny.
Like Johnny Knoxville. Yeah, like Johnny, that's so corny. Like, but Johnny, like Sami Zayn, like what is Sami Zayn? Like Sami Zayn, like what? Like I don't even understand what he's doing right now. And then was it Sami Zayn the one with Logan Paul last time?
Yeah, I think.
So they just like pass Bad Bunny and Logan, they just like swipping between those like couple of mid-carders who are proficient on the microphone, but like in no regard to like if it would be fun or make sense or have any story.
Yeah, it's just spectacle for the sake of spectacle.
Right. And we get worked by talking about it every week, folks. You know, we love it. We love it. We love it, folks. We know. Hey, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast.
A way to start.
No.
72% wrestling.
Set, we are 72% wrestling, 18% just meandering men chat. That's what
Backtrack a lot of backtracking.
yeah, yeah. Us. A lot of backtracking. I think. Well, I want to go based on the bonus episode this week. I'll say we're also. I would say 2%. Long Island nostalgia. 2% in Long Island nostalgia podcast.
I think
We're
it's
talking about
hilarious that you all are from, you guys are from Long
use
Island.
guys. Use
These
guys.
guys are from Long Island, where there's a Levittown. I'm not from Long Island, but I'm from Levittown.
Well, yeah, there's
So
a developer.
spiritually, like, you know, through the spirit of suburban sprawl, we are
Well, Levittown, Long
linked.
Island was the first suburbs.
I know.
Yeah, I actually knew that. And then
That
I forgot it,
song,
and then I knew it again when you said it here.
that says they're all made of ticky taffy and they all look the same. It's about Levittown houses.
Right. I don't know why this made me laugh, but there's a new Cheaper by the Dozen on Disney Plus, and it's
Wait, like a
like a
new series?
reboot. They like rebooted Cheaper by the Dozen.
That's a true story about a guy from Long Island, actually.
Really?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh
Yeah,
my God.
he
I just
goes out
got
to buy
work.
Mm.
And he comes back. Yeah, it's cheaper by the baker dozen because they're like,
He
if
was
you get
sent out
one
by
more,
his
it's the
wife.
same price. It's the same price for an extra bagel.
Yeah.
It,
Baker's dozen just historically implies that bakers don't know how to fucking count. Yeah.
that is
I
that
don't
the
know.
origin of the baker's dozen? Is that they just like accidentally throw another one in?
No, I think it's just like a my friend, like, you know, like friend prices. It's just like a baker, you know, baker throws in an
Let's take it a
actual.
step further, Newman.
All right.
What's the origin of the dozen? Why do we need, why does 12 need its own thing?
Why is that's true. Why did we go, why did we skip right over like 10,
Yeah,
which is
why
like
is increment
a
12 something?
monumental number. 10 is involved in so many things and it doesn't get its own designation, like dozen.
You know what? I gotta say this. You know, the multiverse is huge right now. I think 12 is huge right now.
12?
Yeah, I think 12 is big right
Phil, I
now.
want to hear Phil weigh in on this.
12
What are
is
you
big right
getting
now,
for
I
the
feel
number
like.
12?
12
It
is
is
so hot right now.
An interval of 9
because I think that as society
and 3.
progressed, it's just kind of like a natural cultural inflation of like people used to expect 10. You know, you're in the gym, you're pumping out 10 reps. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's like 10, and then it just became like, yo, society has like, you know, like at one time the 900 with Tony Hawk, right? That was like the big way to do a skateboard spin. And now it's the 1080, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's been the 1080.
So now it's 12 reps. Now we're pushing for 12
reps.
Real
answer? Why 12?
Yes.
Is there a real answer for this you're going to give me?
There is a answer. I don't know how real it is.
Welcome to the Comedian's Rest Podcast. 2% historical number facts.
And numerology. Let's go.
This is a numerology note.
Okay.
Under a system that came to be known as English units, which was a combination of old Anglo-Saxon and Roman systems of measurement, eggs were sold by the dozen. It made sense to sell them that way because one egg could be sold for a penny or 12 for a shilling, which was equal to 12 pennies.
You
know what?
Too high.
Didn't learn anything from
that. Boring than I wanted it to be, but yeah, I don't know what sucks. I expected because we're talking
that
about.
Sucks. You know, when you learn like a reason for something, like, you know, like you find the origin of something and you're like, well, I just wish it was better as a mystery. And that's like what happened here.
It's like how we found the origin of the air raid horns that used to go off on Long Island.
Yeah, that exactly happened on the bonus episode this week. Me and Tulo, we were insensitively discussing air sirens happening in Ukraine. And then we were not really insensitive, by the way. We were just talking about it. You know, we were respecting the whole crisis over there.
Chopping it up about World War III.
Just chopping it up. Mm-hmm. Terrible thing. And so, but then we were like, yo, you know what? Growing up in Long Island kind of felt like if there was an air siren going off or an attack, we would never know because we grew up in Long Island and it was always like, yeah, it was just constant, though.
Twice a day, yeah. At like 12 and 5.
Were. And we never questioned it. No one said anything. The teacher didn't stop class. Like, hey, sorry. You know, by the way, you guys hear that siren? What was that? Like, no one knew what the fuck it was. And then we looked up what it was, and we still didn't really know what it was. We didn't care. It wasn't what we wanted. We wanted to know, like, that meant, like, what do we want? What would be, like, really satisfying? Like,
there's an attack on the shores or something.
Tactical nuclear missile.
Yeah.
There could be like a long-range ballistic warhead headed towards Long Island. The sirens would go off, and the most that would happen is someone would yell out their window, "Turn that fucking thing off!"
That's why they got rid of them, because there were so many people that were so pissed off for that. What the fuck is this fucking siren?
We got the church bells every hour, and we got the sirens.
Hey, you know what? The guys along at our dad generation didn't even notice because they were too annoyed by their wives.
We are recording now, Dan.
Okay. But folks, I'll tell you what, that siren, you know what they started they say, that siren going on, so it was a break. You know what I mean?
Thank God.
That was, oh, man. Wow, you know, fuck, man, it's almost believable in Long Island. But anyway, let's welcome to the Comedian's Wrestling Podcast. This is a professional wrestling podcast. Patreon.com/Comedian's Wrestling supports the podcast. Listen to our bonus episodes we record after Dynamite every week. Comes out about Friday, sometimes midday, sometimes Friday morning. Depends on when we can get her done. Is what the folks
get
are
her done.
Depends on when we can get her done. That felt really good.
There's a question I want to just, you don't have to,
that's
no answer.
Nasty Newman, the welcome. He's a nasty, nasty boy. He's got
how
the 666 hat on. He's
how
got a t-shirt on from
how
a notoriously
it?
Botched match where the pyro didn't go off, but they still showed shirts. Good for
the origin of that. The origin of that shirt is the best because we were like, yo, that shirt is so sick. Beginning of the match, we're like, we gotta get this. And we all fucking purchased it.
Kenny was walking down the ramp and I bought it.
Yeah. Me too. We bought it together. Long sleeve?
Cut to, oh yeah, yeah, long sleeve. And then cut to the ending. And I'm like, well, maybe it'll be a collector's item.
Tiptoe with Tulo in the house, joining us for the main eps, all the way from the bonus eps.
Tiptoe with Tulo, baby.
He's Before a big go, Adam Cole fan. He's a big Adam
so
Cole
I'm
fan.
So I'm actually, I got something for you guys. It's a new piece of merch. You ready to see it?
Yeah.
It's
might better
be
not
the
be
best.
Your hog again, all right? We're not doing that kind of show.
Yeah, actually, Tulo's referring to his penis as merch recently.
We're going PG, okay?
Yeah.
Gotta pretty have gross. A walk-in closet for how great this merch is. All right, hold on 1 second.
PG stands for
all
pretty
right,
gross.
Now I'm sure it's his hog.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is it a Pussy Riot face mask?
What do you guys think?
Is it Sting? What is that?
It's Sting.
Sting!
I'm going to tell you right now, You look like you look like a marshmallow gimp.
You don't look like Sting at all. You don't look like Sting. I gotta tell you,
it's a cool balaclava.
It's a cool idea.
Sorry, Andrade.
You look like you're going to an orgy and you're the blowjob guy. I mean,
let's go.
You show up to the orgy. You check
look like the human glory hole.
You check the schedule. You look like this. You check the schedule when you get to the orgy, and you're like, "Fuck! I'm on the fuck. I'm on oral mouth. Guy again. I'm on mouth.
I'm on mouth.
I'm on mouth every shift."
Look at the schedule, Tulo. You're on mouth today.
Yeah.
Let's
Tulo,
go.
I need you on mouth.
Put the mouth mask on.
Tiptoe with mouth low, man.
Tiptoe with mouth low.
Tiptoe with tool blow.
Ooh, baby. So, Tulo, let the people of Austin, Texas know where they can get blown by you. Where can they get blown by you? Keep Austin weird, folks. Tulo's going to be giving up blowjobs at Amy's Ice Cream.
Whataburger bathroom.
You've heard of...
Yeah. I post the GPS locations every Thursday in the Whataburger bathroom while six.
Yeah, and it,
this merch might as well have been his hog. Yeah. I wasn't even that far off.
You can't see this right now, but I'm crying.
Yeah, we can. The mascara's running. We can see it.
Are you laughing? These are real tears.
These are tears.
Yo, you gotta check this. Go to the YouTube page, Comedians Wrestling YouTube page.
I
see
Tulo's. I hate that so much.
Completely, you know, like, terrible piece of merch that he bought with actual money, and and he's like, "Yo, guys, I look like Sting."
Oh my god!
I did actually get
like Rorschach from The Watchmen. Fell on real Sting hard times. Oh no.
Okay, those are a little better, you know?
At least okay,
you
know those are sick. Yeah.
Joggers, too.
Oh, I gotta get some water. I forgot my water. Where the fuck is my water? Oh, my God. We are on
bitch. I need Tony Schiavone.
I hate that it's, it's just like, oh, the whole time.
His teeth because he's smiling.
I know.
You can't see that he's smiling. So
who does he look like? So oh, it looks like... the fucking what's it from Resident Evil?
Tony Schiavone to
Nemesis
to get a drop.
Nemesis,
good job, man. Yeah,
he's like stars. Hey, oh, now when he looks on his phone, it's really funny.
You're on mouth
between knobs, folks. We're on the chode to WrestleMania, and listen. All right, Tulo, take that off,
fuck, dude.
Before we lose patience.
No, I'm recording with it on. You're gonna do this.
All right, fine. Wear it the whole time. Hey, can someone bring me my water?
Tulo, do me a favor. Tuck the bottom of it into your shirt.
You got it. No,
oh my god, it's Nemesis.
Stars.
You know what? That character, by the way, well, this is the Comedians of Resident Evil.
When Brody King wears it, but no, Tulo puts it on and he's blowjob.
Hey, look, I know Brody
thank
King.
You.
And you're no Brody
thank
King.
Thank you, baby.
You know me.
Yeah. You're no Brody King.
Can I tell you something, Brody? Yeah, I thought it was a Brody King mask, but it's not. Can I say something?
You nope.
Can
come
sure,
look.
Man.
You can come look. You can come look at Tulo's terrible mask. There's a lot of ruckus going on. What do you think? What do you
make
think
a kissy
like?
Face out of it. What's worse than I imagined? Marvel. Oh, it's worse than I imagined. Prolapsed anal mouth. What's that
movie? It reminds you of the Gimp in Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a marshmallow gimp.
Now, the question would be, now that Christina says it looks like a gimp mask, what about
I said that first. But
Well, you said it first, but she didn't hear. Do you think that we can get that on Bobby Lashley and now raise his
game over, fam. Game over. Game over.
You know, I never really agreed with that point by Shebs because I think I like Lashley's face. I think he looks cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Andrade
Christina says
is,
Lashley's handsome.
Andrade's the closest we're going to get to the gimmick.
I'll drink at this thing.
Yeah. Andrade is stud. I mean, listen, I don't know where we're starting on this pod today, and this is not probably the place to start, but Andrade took an L, a clean L to Sammy, right?
On yeah, and he wore in those pants, too.
In the pants. He didn't take the pants off.
That's
right?
Why. The power lies in the
crotch.
In the crotch.
And I saw, yo, I follow so much disgusting marquetry. I can almost make this whole podcast, like, all the stupid shit I read on Facebook, like like terrible wrestling takes. I sent you guys one, the Cesaro one, which I'll talk to you about.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But someone was just like, man, it's, you know, look at AEW. People think the grass is greener, but look at Andrade taking an L on Rampage to Sammy Guevara, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, guys, like, stop being such fucking marks. Like, how many wrestlers do we have to see in the history of time lose, and then get awesome when they stop losing? Like, why are we always convinced that, like, any loss you take, you're done? We always think you're done. Like, we're such little fucking kids, and they run circles around us, you know? Like, you know, there are times where, like, you get manipulated. When somebody is an underdog, they lose. That created Daniel Bryan. It created Mick Foley, you know?
Right.
You say Mick Foley. Yeah.
And it's like, but that take is like
the
opposite of it's still real to me, damn it. It's still fake to me, damn it.
It's still fake to me, damn it. Christina, we'll talk about that later. All
right, goodbye. We should have.
She wants to know why. She wants to know why Ziggler always loses. It's like, it's a long story. Right. You know what I mean?
Complicated.
It's hard. It is hard to explain to people who come in. You know what I mean? And you're like, look at the guy. And you're like, well, he's not. Everyone knows he's the best. You know what I mean? You're kind of like, you have to describe it. You're like, everyone knows he's the best. And yeah, he's the longest working guy in the company. He has had the most matches ever. And like, Vince loves him. He'll never let him go. He's a completely integral to the whole thing they do over there. He loses every match and he gets no heat because they make him lose. So you know he's irrelevant. It does actually make no sense, really, when you think about it.
I mean, it kind of does. If you think of it like it's, you know, a cast, you know, it's his role that he plays is that of a foil.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that even my argument, and I know we're jumping all over the place, is that he should lose. He should win half of his matches if that's his role.
Right.
So that you can believe he can do anything. Because now we're at the point where you're like, anytime you see him coming out, you know he's going to win. He's going to lose.
Right.
I know you agree. So Andrade, going back, anyway, that but I couldn't be. This, by the way, another thing. This is the Comedians with Dolph Ziggler podcast. Also,
yeah.
So we have a 100% Ziggler bias. Okay,
yeah, right.
it's close to 100. Okay, so I'm just gonna lay that out there. Like, legitimately, a friend of mine. Okay, but Andrade, I hear this point, but it's like at the same time, Andrade is so fucking good. It's like. And Sammy Guevara is so good. It's like, give me Sammy a win does not mean Andrade is done. Like, he can win the title in a second. But it did make me think that AEW should just straight up steal the Money in the Bank. Like, it would be awesome if they had a fucking briefcase over
there. The cash in the vault match.
I could use a little more gimmickry, right? But they have tons of gimmicks over there, so don't get me wrong. Gimmickry that relies to the structure of the of the day-to-day operation, right?
Right.
So they get that Casino Royale chip. They can get rid of that already. Just make it a briefcase or make it a contract, you know? The chip is a little too, like, they're trying to not be a briefcase, you know? Yeah.
But it's like an AA chip, too. It's like...
Anyway, sad news, though. I know that WrestleMania is around the corner, but we should talk about this. Now, let's get serious for a second. Okay. I'm reading that they're letting Angelico go in AEW, okay?
Mm.
And boy, oh boy, did I not get enough of his entrance in his time in AEW. We should cut together a fucking montage of it, right? Like an in memoriam. But you know, probably a 2019 to 2020.
I heard he was really fucking. I heard he was injured really bad.
Probably.
I heard he had a really bad knee injury. I think he tore his meniscus and ligaments and stuff.
Oh, damn.
I'm waiting for the soundboard was dead, so I can't play it. But
did you hear meniscus and then start doing the Macarena?
Yeah.
I do. By the way,
when I dance, they call me meniscus.
I don't call it Macarena. I'm very masculine. I call it the Macarena.
Macarena. Jesus Christ.
I don't do the Macarena. I do the Macarena. Okay?
I'm a little bit more woke than you. I do the Macarena X.
Yo, is it true? Can I ask you something that's a little political, Newman? Because, well, by the way, this is the Comedians of Politics.
Yeah.
We do 0.25% politics here.
Too much, if you ask me.
Bill Maher is always talking about how, like, the Latino community does not care about Latinx. Like, that's like a thing that's I hear this. Is this true? Like, and it's true because I was thinking about it in wrestling. Like, the wrestlers never talk about Latinx. Like, you know, that never comes up.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I from what I understand, as a white guy, there is like a divided opinion on whether or not it's necessary or whether or not it serves, you know, the purpose that it's intended to serve, because there's already built in gender neutral stuff into that language.
Right.
And so I think there are some people who would prefer to like just use those. And then there's other people who feel that we need to invent new words, but yeah, it's definitely, I think it's a point of contention for sure.
Okay. That's all I needed on that. But the Macarena X is funny.
Oh,
Macarena X. I mean, I don't know what the as a punchline.
Yeah, yeah.
Up the Macarena X. I don't know what the, you know, you have to reverse engineer the joke.
Yeah,
the
yeah, 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 yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, I danced the Macarena. I don't want to offend anybody, so I danced the Macarena.
The Macarena
X.
There it is, written. So many things from my childhood are controversial now. You know, I don't dance the Macarena anymore. I dance the Macarena X.
Yeah, I dance the Macarena X. You know what I mean? When I'm singing Mambo number 5, I throw a couple of gender neutral names in there.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's a little bit of Jordan in my life.
A little bit of Casey's all I need.
You don't know.
Mambo number 5.
Right. Mama, oh my god.
I think this is
a little bit of Drew.
Idea.
A little bit of Drew is what I need.
With a U?
A little bit of Drew.
Could be anybody.
Let me tell you guys, there's weeks on this podcast where there's no pod that's funnier. I gotta tell you. Yeah. And this is just one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You can't predict when they're gonna be. You just gotta stick around, baby. You just gotta stick around.
I gotta say, a contributing factor seems to be I drank 2 cold brews this morning.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Macarena X.
There's the podcast title right there. Hey, Macarena X.
Hey, so WrestleMania is happening this year.
Yeah.
And it's around the corner. And by the way, it's looking more and more like I will be doing a live show, okay?
Yeah.
I can't. It's looking more
things
and more.
Things are happening. Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Things are getting,
did she just flash? Jesus Christ. This is a children's show.
Christina came in and decided to flash all you folks.
Yeah, because we're going to go to WrestleMania this year. We're going to get shit-faced. We're going to not remember our names. We're going to be hungover for 5 days, and we're going to have a fucking show.
Okay. Well, she's geared up to go. By the way, she's not invited.
Yeah, I thought she wasn't coming.
What did you say?
Of course you're invited, baby. You're always invited.
Bill, make sure you throw up a sensor.
Hey, what is the Macarena? While
boobs,
you're here,
please.
And you're a dancer, how would you dance the Macarena X?
Macarena X?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Okay, goodbye.
Gender neutral Macarena.
It's the gender neutral Macarena.
Get out of here. Macarena X, you're way
actually,
off
you
the
know what? I don't want to see her interpretation.
I don't want to give this to Christina.
No. All right.
When I didn't stay calm,
all right, I want to talk about the good things going on, okay? Christina, ow! Don't ruin my vibe! I want to talk to you after the show. I want to talk to you.
My vibe.
It is.
Yeah, the wheels are
18 on a fucking Sunday.
They're
Stop
fucking,
ruining
they're,
my vibe. I'm trying to talk to my friends.
Full blown kicked it.
I miss you too.
I'm trying to talk to my friends about
really
the
appreciate
wrestling.
That.
I'm trying to talk to my friends about the fighting that we like. Oh my god,
fighting!
I'm talking about my friends about the fighting that we like.
She keeps this up.
All right, I like Tulo Still. By the way, check out the YouTube. Tulo Still has the mask on. He's looking below, folks. But all right. Anyway, all right. What was that? I know you like it. All right.
What were we talking about? WrestleMania.
Did you see this Brock Roman segment on SmackDown was very good. Did we see it? Tulo sent it to me first, actually, I believe, and was this rules, right?
Yeah, that's how I saw that's how I watched SmackDown is on Instagram.
What a terrific promo by both of these guys. Now, Brock, I think, said, I'm going to kick your ass like 4 or 5 times, but it's fine because there's no way Brock, you can't hand him a script. There's almost beauty in that because it's like he just does whatever he wants, which you could tell.
Right.
But fucking Roman was the man in this segment. He's like, this is my show. This is my commentators. This is my fucking, that's my WrestleMania sign.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Everybody's here for me. This is my cameraman. That's my camera. You know? Yeah. And let's talk about it. It's one of the first times WWE has had an actual champion who's dominated for this long. They said since Hogan 1-3, Mania 1-3, this is the first champion to hold the title from one Mania to another Mania. I don't know. Is that shit. Right?
Yeah.
So you have him. No, the actual stat is someone to, hold the title, the same title, Mania to Mania. And he's defending the same title at the next Mania. It's fucking awesome, you know? And he feels like a guy who should do it. You know,
He pretty much did the brick thing. He's just pointed at stuff in the room and saying things that he loves. I love this cameraman.
Yeah, he's like, I like this cameraman. Ring pose. That's my ring pose. I fuck that ring pose every night.
Roman, are you just,
is that your ring pose or did you just see
that? Oh, shit. Is this Roman Reigns? Is Roman Reigns here?
I love this ring post, bro.
Oh, Roman Reigns is here, Roman. He's here to tell us all the things that are his.
I done smashed everything in this room, bro.
Yo, I done smashed you. Once I'm done smashing you, I'm going to smash that ring post because that's my ring post. That's my gum wrapper on the floor. That is my gum. See that kid right there with his mom? That's my kid.
Hey, bro. You see that? You see John Cena guy in the front row? That's my John Cena guy in the front row, bro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yo, you see that ramp? That ramp's coming home with me. Okay. You see that one steel ramp post over there? It's coming home with Eddie Roman Kingston. Reigns on my private jet that has my step. When I step into my private jet, I'm like, that's my step. One step. That's my step, two step, that's my step, three step, my step, four step.
That's actually bars. That's bars,
actually. I dropped my wallet. I dropped my wallet, so I got to go back down one step. I go back down one step, I go back my step. I pick my wallet, I put it in my pocket.
3 days later.
Oh, shit.
I put my key in my door. I open my door, I get in my house.
Yo. This plane, by the way, I got a problem with this plane right now because it's sucking up my fuel. This plane is using my fuel. I do it. You put the fucking fuel in my mouth.
Last time I was in Saudi Arabia, the king looked at me and said, these are your oil fields. All the oil production belongs to Roman Reigns.
Yeah. I don't know why that's what my Roman impression is.
Your Roman Reigns is just Eddie Kingston.
My Roman Reigns is not at all. This is my house.
Yeah.
Yo, but he is trying to do a little bit of that. He doesn't like to. That's the thing about Roman. We all there's a little bit of suspension of disbelief. He might be better off wearing the gimp mask, the Tulo Sting gimp mask, because then his acting might be better. Because he's something you see in his face. He's a little uncomfortable. You know, he's a little behind his words. You see it though.
No, I think what you just did is something that Roman Reigns needs because he's just handsome and has no personality whatsoever. But The Rock kind of had that energy.
Take that back. He's got great. He's got great personality.
His personality.
No, I think he doesn't have that much. He doesn't have personality like The Rock. But that being said,
who does?
He's got a great gimmick going for himself, and a lot of that gimmick is the fact that he's the fucking best guy in the company and work shoot. No one else can do it.
He's the head of the Samoans.
Right.
That's his gimmick. But that clip that I sent of like those sort of like off the cuff, right. Him like talking shit in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, I got a big arm. It's too big. He can't get out. Like that shit is, that's great.
I'm going to choke you out.
Yeah.
You're going to die in this ring, man.
This is my WrestleMania.
Look how big my arm is.
That was
takes up the
so
whole screen.
Man. I'm on God mode now, which, by the way, Roman,
I smashed you.
I'm going
to send John Cena back to the field.
I go down, smashed you already.
He going to go back. He ain't going to be on the TV no more because I've smashed him.
Yo, Tulo, no. I can't tell with that mask on. I can't tell if you're about to tell us about cryptocurrency or cut a journalist's head off.
I got NFTs now. They're gonna make this into an NFT.
Jesus,
ETH through the wall.
Oh, Tulo, NFTs.
Nick fucking
Tulo.
NFT
yeah.
is Nick.
Yeah.
You guys heard about Tulo. You heard about the Pritchard rebrand of the Tuesday
Nick
Night Show?
Nick fucking Tulo.
It's NFT 2.0 now. And they're going to be talking NFTs. Yo, I don't smash you. By the way, so this is the thing. One thing I'll say about the smash thing.
That's your next gimmick.
Are you
Tulo,
guys from
way.
A place where when NFT. You say smash, it means banged? Oh, yeah. Are you you guys?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, okay. I'm just checking. I don't know if that's too long.
Yeah, I'm from Long Island. Of course, smash yeah. means banged.
So, like, you... we smashed. You yeah. know what I mean?
Yeah. But did you smash, dog? Yeah.
But a lot of times it's actually kind of nice because smashing, it's not like I smashed her, like blah, blah, blah. It's not like that. Like, you did. It's like,
we smashed.
Together, we smashed genitals. It's kind of like right. a very inclusive, equal way to say that you banged, but still has a touch of misogyny, you know? A little sprinkle, you know what I mean? A little sprinkle.
Little
we bag. Don't smash, dude.
Everybody stay smashing this hole.
Wait, by the way.
Accents are fucking bonkers.
Well,
we
can we say something, though?
Smash, dude.
Hey, Roman Reigns is going to start being like, hey, smash. Hey, bro.
He's got a consigliere.
Yeah, he starts talking full on. Hey, this Yo. Is my a consigliere.
These are my cousins, Jimmy and Jay.
And Jimmy and Gino.
And you know they smashed too.
Yo, I don't smashed everybody in this business. I smashed Gorilla Monsoon.
Like, who is it's like Sonny Liston. Like, who are you? Like,
well, here's the thing. We gotta give Roman Reigns prop. At least he's getting to a place where he feels impersonatable, right?
Right.
Is impersonatable?
I love it.
You know, it happened.
They're going to unify those. You know, that's a unification match, right?
Yeah, it's a unification match, which I just think, truly, who cares? Because they're going to split them at some point again. It's like
imitable whatever. Is the word you're looking for.
I wasn't looking for it. I just said whatever happened. But
yeah.
Now I'm
well, yeah, it wasn't a word. But
anyway,
imitable.
Segment's good. The Brock-Roman match is getting there. You know, look, inevitably, it's a stupendous match. And I'm pumped about it. You know, did you guys see that? I mean, this is the next thing we got to talk about. Is that I believe Meltzer? Yes, it was Meltzer. Is saying
# I believe Meltzer
that and take it with a grain of Meltzer. Which rhymes with the best thing about Dave Meltzer? People don't talk about is that. His name rhymes with seltzer. You know, no people don't.
No
talk
one
about
talks
that
about that.
No one talks about that enough. Especially
it's such a good call.
You know what
but
I mean?
No
it's
one's
such,
talking
it's
about.
It's such a good call because that people don't because they don't people don't focus on nuance like they used to. You know,
right?
And so I mean,
everyone's so focused.
Do, so
on
we'll
the,
notice that his name rhymes with seltzer more than other podcasts.
Right? Because everybody's so focused on the evolution that there no one's talking about the fact that Meltzer's name rhymes with seltzer. You know, like
right.
their eyes are on. This other like thing,
right? And that's part of the work. And so, and I meant that in two senses, like part of the work as in like a wrestling work, and part of like the work. You know what I mean? We got to be doing the work here,
right?
To make wrestling better. And so we got to point out that Meltzer runs with Seltzer. Now, I'm glad you know that now. By the way, that'll
Me
be the second title of this podcast. Look, Tulo's taking selfies with the mask.
No,
no, he says he's no, like
no.
this.
He's like, Tulo's no, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
My dog's on the couch right there. My dog's having a dream.
Oh, that's
I can
even
show
more,
you the video.
That's even more funny. You're
Prove it. Show us
dog.
The last 10 pictures in your camera roll.
There it goes. See, I'm recording them.
I think what he said was weirder. He said my dog was having a dream, so I took a picture. But anyway, let's just move forward. Seltzer is saying Dave Seltzer is saying that. Vince is, as of right now, the WrestleMania card that's up in the office in Titan Towers has Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee on it.
Fucking insane, dude.
And Vince McMahon is going on Pat McAfee's podcast, like, this week.
Right.
Yeah, Thursday.
And that is notoriously where they started the Adam Cole beef, right?
Yeah,
correct.
Bye-bye. I mean, can we talk about this? First off, if Vince is going to wrestle,
better question.
Yeah, shouldn't it just be Stone Cold?
Do we have to talk about this?
No, let's move on.
No, we can't. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
We don't have to.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I like Pat McAfee enough. We can. Yeah, it's fine.
I mean,
just kidding.
I think that we don't have to talk about it. Let's move on.
This man wants to die in the ring. This is it. This is the goal. This is the end, right?
Well,
this
listen,
is
Pat,
what he wants.
Pat,
to
if, Pat if, listen to me, Pat. You have to murder me out there. Okay,
sure, Vince.
I need to die. It's the only way the curse can be broken. Need to break my neck. And that ring.
or you're fired.
Yo, Pat McAfee is the best, man.
Yeah,
you could tell there was like a noticeable difference when he was like away on SmackDown in terms of the vibe and the energy.
Tope Suicida.
I can't believe this is happening. I cannot believe this is happening.
What are you talking about? The Carmella?
Ends guy see that movie?
Oh, there? Corey Graves.
Don't even get me started.
Is that
on
Supermark?
That.
No, it's Pat McAfee from Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pat McAfee. Pat, are you excited to wrestle Vince?
I gotta take this thing off.
Oh, you know I am, dude. He's, I mean, like, he's the reason for the season, bro.
Wow. Oh, and so if you wrestle him, how are you going to, you know, you think he's going to give you the rub or what's going to happen?
I don't care if he's going to give me the rub, dude. I'm going to hit him in the face with the old Pittsburgh special with his root beer, glass of root beer with glass in it, bro.
Oh, yeah. With a broken freaking neck. It's going to be in a glass that has a broken freaking neck. Like it's in a wine glass that is a broken freaking neck. That made me laugh. I apologize for that. So, do you think that Vince McMahon's gonna wrestle you straight up? You're gonna have some tricks, or what's gonna be in the docket for you?
He's a dirty dog. He just know that he's gonna pull out every trick in a book and try to take me down, but it ain't gonna work. Okay.
Are you thinking about getting into shape for this match? I've noticed you've been a bit doughy every time you wear a tank top.
Not me. See, though, that's where you're biased, dude. You're from the East Coast.
I'm a body guy.
You're from the East Coast. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay. I'm country strong, dude. I'm from the Midwest, dude. Western Pennsylvania is the Midwest, dude. I'm country strong, dude.
All right, well, I'm excited for that match. Speaking of which, Pat, you got to go because I want to talk about this match.
All right, see you later.
Listen. I think we're going to see this. I think Vince knows, like, he's got to pull out all the stops because they got to sell 200,000 tickets. And right. I think this is real. I just don't know why against Pat McAfee. You know what I mean? Like, I guess because he's thinking because Pat McAfee has a big outlet and then I'll bring real sports fans in, right?
So yeah,
it's kind of brilliant, I guess, in that
way.
And
he probably likes him. I can see Vince because he's good at what he does. And
yeah,
he reminds me of.
I like
you
Pat
know, this is kind of lofty. Really this is kind of lofty, but I think like at his best, Pat McAfee reminds me of like Bobby Heenan. You know, like that level of antagonist.
It's 2022, and we're having Johnny Knoxville, Pat McAfee. And Vince McMahon on the WrestleMania
and Logan
card.
Paul.
Yeah.
And Logan Paul.
Well, they're just laying in the bed they made.
Well, also, I think that they're selling the company. It's very clear to me that WWE is not WWE is not really they're a multimedia property, and they will be sold in the next year or so to one of these big streaming services, probably just to NBC Universal. That's my prediction. You know what I mean? Like, and I hate speculating on that shit, but it's very clear to me that, like, they're not, like, trying to elevate professional wrestling to its, like, finest art. They're trying to just get as many eyes on it as possible. But also, like, you got to give them props because not props. So you have to, you know, this guy Nick Khan is just like, hey, how do we get the most eyes on this shit? And they're attempting something. I might be wrong, and I don't know what I'm talking about, and I'm sure. I don't think like social media stardom does what these companies think it does. You know, like I could be wrong, but if you had to see an actual stat, like for like Logan Paul being a mania, how many people are like, oh, I want to see him wrestle. I don't think it's that many people.
No,
because the reason I think it's not that many people is because people want to see him box because boxing has like real danger to it, and they're like, wow, that guy's gonna box, you know what
he's
I mean?
He's not the boxer, is he?
He fought Floyd Mayweather.
Is he the boxer?
In Miami. No,
I can't tell
His brother's the more competitive boxer,
right?
But he boxed Floyd Mayweather in Miami. Oh. Like, but they don't draw big crowds. They're all pay-per-views.
Right.
So like, it's about the pay-per-view numbers. It's less about the attendance numbers in crowd, and it's more about more people are gonna tune in on the TV and watch because that's why they keep doing this boxing shit. And honestly, it's all YouTube, like Instagram famous people fighting on these things. So that's the people are tuning in are all social media people that follow all that. So they're thinking that if Logan Paul's on there, that more people are going to tune in to watch. But yeah. I don't know how that really even works with the Peacock deal.
I mean, but, it's also too, like, you can just buy 100,000, like social media traction is so easily like bought that, and but it's hollow, like it's just for clout, you know, like it's not actually people talking about the product, it's just buying followers and buying likes and stuff. So like it's very kind of like a shifting sand kind of foundation to kind of try to build anything on.
And it's crazy because you look on the other side of it and like there, it's two totally different strategies going into a pay-per-view, right? Right. One company is very storyline based. There's no real theatrics at all in Revolution, right? And the other one is no story based and all theatrics. So it's like, right. You know what? This is, I mean, they have way more than enough talent to pull off a really great WrestleMania with all the talent that they have. But I have no desire.
I'm a little bit of a romantic where I think that story is what draws people in. And that goes back. I don't think people are that much different nowadays than the old times. And so, like, when people. My brain went four directions. Should we get that? Should we take that and make that like a Rage Against the Machine style?
Rage Against the Machine does like not. It's
like
disturbed.
A Tom Morello distortion.
Is what no, it's Disturbed is what we were doing.
Oh yeah, it's more like Disturbed. But what I'm saying is that if you think of like Hogan Andre, that was more about the story, right? You're like this guy, this huge
was it?
Wrestler.
Well,
yeah, it was like these. Yeah, it was the story. And then even Ronda was story-based because it was like her transition into professional wrestling from real fighting. And then there was a work shoot element of like, will her skills like translate over to wrestling or something like that, you know? Right. And I guess you can get eyes, but I'm saying I've never met someone who watched wrestling because they're like, oh, I love Bad Bunny so much. I'm going to watch Mania. But these people must exist, and I'm naive, even though Bad Bunny's like a big star. Like, I think professional wrestling is such a specific thing that even stunt casting doesn't help it, you know? Right. The only way to do it is to create someone who makes noise. For example, Bray Wyatt. Like, when I saw the first time, I was out of wrestling for a while, and then I saw video of Bray Wyatt with the fedora and the Hawaiian mask and the rocking chair and the lantern. I said Hawaiian mask, Hawaiian shirt, the Aloha shirt. And I was like, that's an interesting looking guy. The first time I saw John Cena when I was in college on the cover of Men's Health with the chain around his neck with the lock on it. And he had like that. I was like, I got to look up what's going on with this guy. He looks like kind of like juiced up Mark Wahlberg. There's something interesting going on here with this guy, right?
And I remember Batista. I always thought he looked like what was that superhero from Darkwing Duck? The gyro, like that, like robot duck.
Oh my god, Roboduck?
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, was it
with the single wheel?
Yeah.
I think he's Roboduck, right?
Is it Roboduck? He looks like Roboduck to me.
I looked up his name recently, and I think it's just Roboduck. But I know exactly. By the way, Roboduck's a really interesting character to talk about, surprisingly, because if you're talking about drawing, there was a time where we didn't have access to everything in our fingers, right? Like, and that character, when he would show up, it would be very rare. It would be like every like 50 episodes. And when you saw him, you were so excited. But I would keep watching to hear, same way you listen to the radio where you're like, fuck, I love Wonderwall so much, you know, or whatever. And right. You're like, in the radio, like, oh, fuck, they're playing it, you know? And even though they know how much of a hit it is, so they know to play it enough to work you in that way. What?
There
Gizmoduck
is Gizmoduck.
It's Gizmoduck. Yeah. I got it before you. Yeah. It's Gizmoduck. It's Gizmoduck. I just popped into my head before you. It's Gizmoduck. Yeah. Welcome to the Gizmoducks of wrestling.
I mean, Roboduck is a character, but Gizmoduck is who I'm thinking of. And Gizmoduck also, because it was the same.
You know what his catchphrase was, right? It's Gizmo Duck gives no fucks.
Yeah, I never knew that.
We
gotta
make that shirt. I'm making that fucking shirt.
I'll buy six.
Oh my god, it's Gizmo Ducks gives no fucks. Oh my god.
Fuck that. I'm getting it tattooed on me.
I'm getting that tattooed on my ass. 100%.
Oh my god.
100%. Tulo, do you have an ass tattoo? You feel like a guy who might have an ass tattoo?
Nah. I do have the too sweet hand gesture on my ankle though. You ever see that one?
I'll get the I'll get Gizmo Duck on my ass cheek because it'll match the theme that I have going, which has Scrooge McDuck diving into my asshole like it's a pool full of coins.
That implies, by the way, that your intestines is full of coins, right?
It is.
So do you eat a lot of coins?
I eat coins.
You eat a lot of coins.
I eat coins.
I love that for you.
I have a very high constitution stat, and so I eat coins.
Oh man, we've talked nothing about wrestling. I feel like that was wow. What a pod.
Matt Cardona.
What a pod.
NWA champ.
Mark Cardona is
Mark
the actual
Mark Cardona.
Matt Cardona.
Come on
is...
down to Mark Cardona's Hyundai.
Matt Cardona. Well, come on out of back. Matt Cardona.
Located
is...
on a historic business route one.
Yo, Newman.
What?
Matt Cardona is such a tremendous professional wrestler.
Yeah, he rules.
This guy, he had a post that I read this morning. I was like, what a guy who gets this business in such a tremendous way. He's yoked to the gills. He's handsome as fuck. He's got a fucking beautiful side piece who also gets the business. Not to discredit her at all. Chelsea's fucking awesome at this business as well. You know what I mean? She gets it too. Also a fucking really nice guy. Shoot. You know what I mean? Long Island's own baby, the broski. He went viral before anybody. And then now he went back to his home promotion, did a post that was in character, but also gave them the rub. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Where he's
yeah.
I went there and I won the title expecting, I was really excited to go back and they disappointed me. And then he lists off all the developmental guys coming up there being like, these are the guys who disrespected me that I had to walk out. And you're like, oh, he's just plugging them on his Instagram, but also keeping in character. He posts his gear. Do you see that? He'll post the layouts of his gear on Instagram. I fucking adore the guy. You know what I mean?
He torched that 123 kid Hasbro fucking figure, like that's signed by him, that's worth like $1,500 or something. Like,
no, the dude lives the gimmick. He lives the gimmick. And not only that, he is in a long tradition of wrestlers who I meet, don't give a shit about, hanging out, barely care him in the same room as them. And then they become fucking so awesome. You know what I mean? I have this magic power.
You have a rub. You have the rub.
I give you guys the rub that I don't give a fuck about you rub. And then they get great. The same thing happened with Cody. Cody came to my UCB show. Okay? Yeah. Sat front row. My buddy did an impression of Dust, his dad, in front of him. It was when his dad was alive, by the way.
Yeah.
Impression of his dad. Cody got up and I was like, Cody's here. Who gives Stardust is here? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Joe Spellman.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. You wore the black and yellow polka dots.
I can picture it.
And then Cody got up and was like, I wish I had video of the show, but Cody was in front row going up and was like, that was a terrible impression of my dad. Like, you know what I mean? And it was fucking great. And I was like, he was Stardust. I was talking to Cody after in the bar. I'm not saying I didn't give a shit what I'm saying. What I'm just saying is that they weren't like stars in my mind. You know what I mean? I cared about talking to them. They were cool as shit.
Right.
You know? Both of those guys went on to do such greatness. My coolest claim is doing stand-up for Becky with the black eye. You know what I mean? That's still – and then talking. I get to tell her the week of – it was that Tuesday on SmackDown. She got his face smashed. I did stand-up for her on Wednesday or Thursday, right? And then she came backstage, was like, good set to me. And I got to be like, yo, you realize you're like a star now. Like, I get to say that shit to
her. You said that to her?
Yeah. I was like, you. And she was like, I know. She kind of like knew. She's like, I think I know. I think you're right. You know?
Yeah. That's
ruled.
Cool.
It ruled.
I got so worked by a post on Twitter. And it was like, Cody.
Tulo got worked? What?
Yeah, Cody. I know it's very rare, but Cody.
He hates Cody CM Punk because he insulted the Islanders.
Can't believe this guy got pissed off.
I'm sorry.
But Cody was. It was like Cody back. Behind the scenes footage of Cody backstage in Orlando, and it was like zoomed in on Cody, and he's holding a note, and it's like, "Hey man, hope this still fits." And it's like -H, right?
Yeah.
And he opens it up, and it's the Stardust outfit. And I'm like, "Oh my god, this is an old BTE scene." I thought he was about to fucking do something, like, and I was like, "Oh my god, I got worked so hard." Like, I obviously knew it wasn't that, but like, I thought it might have been like a new thing that he did, you know? Right. But yeah, where is he gonna show up, dude? That's what I'm like.
Well, so the reports I've read is that Cody Rhodes.
I have a great place.
Everyone,
for him
let's
to
just
show
pray.
Up.
Everybody, let's. By the way, before I forget, let's give it up for the Hangman and give it up. Let's all pray that Hangman Adam Page doesn't lose the title to that jabroni. No. Alex Cole.
Right. You couldn't be more wrong,
let's pray.
Honestly.
Let's pray.
Everybody is
dear
praying.
Satan.
Nope, I'm not. I'm not allowing that to happen.
Are you ready for AEW to sink so far into the generic jabron zone of an Adam Cole run? Of just like, "I'm the best, I'll beat you up."
You're completely missing the storyline. Completely.
Okay, well, tell me what I'm missing.
Cole's going to win.
Wrong. I'm giving the Trump treatment. Wrong. Wrong.
Cole's going to win. It's going to be a great decision. Kenny's going to return. And then we're going to have a fucking epic battles between all those guys. And it's going to be great.
Bullet Club Wars.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. You sent me that clip of the Bullet Club thing. And boy, did I not give a shit. I mean, I'm over Bullet Club to the max.
Dan, it's Bullet Club for life, not Bullet Club until I don't feel like it anymore.
They made that abundantly clear. That's like when the cult is like ending and everyone's like, "Yeah, but you did a blood oath." You know what I mean? You're like, "Yeah, and I got hepatitis." You know, like, I got to get out of here. You know what I mean?
It's for life.
It's for life.
Yeah, it's for life, Dan.
Well, I think that Phil, I'm not going to say this. Phil told me something about some guys at Bull Club and then I never saw them the same again.
Oh, I can probably guess who.
And then I was like, I don't want to see these guys ever. You know, and then
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Spill it. You probably don't remember
what I'm talking about.
Spill it.
No, I'm not.
Spill it.
Coward. Yeah. And then Gallows was at our Vegas show, and we had a magic killer spot.
Oh yeah, I remember.
You remember what I told you? Told me.
I remember. You told me.
It just made
them even more jabron zone for me. You know,
but the handshake.
Gallows was the there. He was so wasted, and I wanted to just be like, "Yo, bro, like, if you come and do like a magic killer spot, like in the match." And he was just so hammered, and then he left halfway through the match, and I was like, "That's fine. He doesn't owe me anything, but it's still gonna make me put him in the jabron zone compared to like John Morrison, who's there like fucking shirtless, taking pics for everybody.
That was vodka.
Brings the dripstick. You know what I mean? Like." I know Christina's yelling. She loves the dripstick. She's yelling all dripstick.
That was vodka.
That was vodka.
That hurt me so bad. That was the most dangerous spot in that match, was just getting hit with the dripstick.
He was like backstage. First of all, John Hennigan is 7'9", 600 pounds.
Jack. So Jack.
Chiseled. Out of a rock.
With like water pusher guns strapped to his body. And he's just standing there drunk as fuck. Like, "This one's water.
Yeah.
That's for me.
Yeah,
no, that's for you. This one's vodka. That's for me." And then he blasts him in the face. It's like, "That was vodka."
I think mine was water, the one he hit me with. He hit one of you guys. Mine was
all right,
not
everybody,
vodka.
Is Johnny Drip Drip. Who wants a drip of this? Hit drip.
he hit that one,
sip of this drip stick?
He hit that audience member with vodka.
Yeah,
in the nose.
Dude thought it was water.
It's such a high pressure.
Well, here's the thing.
Also too, because he's like, I mean, imagine like his arm is bigger than God, and he's like pushes.
I have a clip of it.
He didn't have a shirt on the entire time.
He doesn't own a shirt.
No,
leaking fluid all over the stage, all over the place backstage. We're all getting our feet wet. We're about to wrestle on like sandpaper.
Truly remarkable that there wasn't an electrical fire.
Yeah.
But you know the best part of that show, the Vegas show, and I'm glad that some of the listeners got to hang in the back too. You know what I mean?
Well, the one listener was a part of the show.
Yeah, and so these shows are crazy because like I put them on, and it's truly like if you build it, they will come kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, we put on these shows, and then, like, Ziggler's like, I don't know, someone might come. This guy might come. I don't know. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then someone who he didn't mention shows up, or then someone's just in the crowd watching it. He's like, get them out of the fucking crowd. Like, get them, come, like, you know what I mean? Like, tell them to get up here and fucking stun me or whatever. You know what I mean?
Like, stun me, baby.
And that's what people don't get about these shows, is, like, that's the best part about it. It's like, I truly have no – I just – It's sort of a magical thing.
Yeah. It's sort of a magical thing because, like, you're used to UCB, right? And, like, the way that improv works and the way that sort of, like, everybody agrees that, like, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to make it happen. And so you then go out into the world just operating under that assumption. And it then works because you're just expecting it to, like, work out. And so it does.
It's something, I was taught that, you know, you too, Newman, like, it's ingrained in us that, like, and, like, we also are used to, like, having stuff that's, like, colossal failures, and we're like, yeah, that's also part of it, because it's, like, part of it, but you find when you do stuff like that, more times than not, it works out, you know what I mean, because people are looking for shit to do, and like, people respect, like, you doing stuff, you know what I mean, so it is, like, if you build it, they'll come, but it is always like we'll be like an hour before the show just being like, yo, all right, like none of these acts are locked in. I don't know what, like I don't have anybody. I have a ton of maybes and I'm about to go on.
Yeah,
I
by the way, there's 400 people.
25 to 30 to 40 minutes. And then they come up and they're like, yo, it's standing room only. Like, oh my God. And that's how I like to live, baby.
Well, because like that day, the day of the show, like 6 hours before the show, it was like, hey, there's going to be 175 people there, like about halfway sold out. And then, yeah, like truly an hour before the show happened, Ziggler was like, oh, yeah, they were turning people away at the door. There's like just standing room. It's like, fuck.
Well, listen, that's not.
Do you think Dripstick would come to, or is he even going to be there?
No, Dripstick won't be in Dallas because he got fired. He is.
No, he's in Dallas. He's wrestling. GCW? He's doing the they have a show with like luchadors and stuff, and he's
going sick.
Like,
oh, yeah, awesome! That.
Johnny Mundo.
Yeah, he's got a new name or something. But
it's gonna be a great time down there in Dallas. It's just my only beef with Dallas is that Dallas is so like I've said it a million times. The shithole towns are the best manias. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's an insult to the towns, but you know what? Orlando. Oh my God, that shithole. And no offense to the, you know what, offense to you. You know what Orlando is. I adore Orlando. It's the place I vacation the most because I cosplay as white trash, you know? And so
I was going to say because you have Jewish blood coursing through your veins.
That is true because I go down to Florida so much. I went to Disney so many times. My brother's in Orlando right now. My family, we can't get it. We love Orlando, folks. Don't we, folks?
Wait, is Dallas white trash town?
No.
Well, where
Dallas?
Is it?
Wait, what did you say?
Where
no,
is it?
No.
Where is Dallas?
Dallas is a huge. It's just Dallas is very spread out. It has everything.
So
Dallas
it's not
is
a
everything.
Shithole, so you think Dallas is going
to
suck?
But like Orlando is so small, you can walk from the stadium to your hotel, and it's like then it's a college town also. So they got like a pita pit and shit. So you get fucked up. You go by. You go to pita pit. You know what I mean? Like it's not
yo,
like
Orlando's a college town. You know what that means, bro? They got a pita pit.
This is coming off as classist. It's not about that. It's about just. It's about small, right?
Yo, like, if my guy. Yo, my guy. We're about to roll down to Orlando. I'm gonna get some Panera bread, dog.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
You know the vibes in Orlando.
Yo, they got CC's.
They got CC's all you can eat, dog. You know the vibes in Orlando.
He loves the CC's, right?
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that. There's the beauty of being able to just walk around and people like when Orlando, when I was walking from my hotel to the Camping World Stadium, which is an absolute piece of shit stadium, right? But you're walking there and then you pass a truck selling like AJ Styles gloves. Like it's like a dumb, you know what I mean? In Dallas, it's like you have to drive, park. It's the stadium's
yeah,
in Arlington.
Was like that too. Vegas was like that.
Well, Vegas is Vegas. I mean, Vegas is walkable. Vegas is dope. You know what I mean? But
was it walkable to the show? They had to drive to get to that venue.
No, that's true. But I'm just talking about Vegas. Look, Vegas is this whole
other. Are you
other...
trying to get people to come to the show or not come to the show?
People come to the show. Come to. No.
How many cow people are going
to? I'm going to come.
I'm going to come. But here's the thing. Dallas, we're probably going to have a show down there. It's going to be a great time. And Dallas, I mean, there's nothing like AT&T Stadium. All I'm just saying is the point is that, man, oh, man, we make it all the time. I never got to go to Tampa. And Tampa would have been amazing for a Mania, I think, right? That's probably got a nice, you walk from the hotel, like it's small. Everyone you can take over is my point. Every person you walk by is a mark. That's the beauty. That's right. Not going to happen in Dallas or New York. And New York City, I'm from New York City. New York City, I would say, is the worst WrestleMania town. Is the worst town for a WrestleMania.
That was honestly not only just an exhausting and horrible experience, but it was just so hard to get to everything. Like, to go to fucking MetLife, oh my God. And then there was stuff at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. They picked all the hardest locations to get to. If it was like at Madison Square Garden, it's great because everything's, you just take the fucking LIRR there. But like going from, and then there, all the other stuff, there was things in Queens, there was things in Brooklyn, there was things in,
if Mania was Brooklyn, it'd be like, if it was that, like that'd be, but anyway, we've talked about this a million times. I'm figuring out stuff for the show in Dallas, and I'm pretty excited about some of the possibilities I have. What? Christina. All right, let me finish the pod.
It's a flat no.
Newman can't make it to Dallas. Okay, here's the deal.
I'm actually banned. I'm banned from Dallas.
Tulo's banned from. Well, Newman's banned from Dallas.
Tulo's got to be in the show. Are you kidding me? The crack chop. I'm sorry, that was iconic.
The crack chop.
With my ass licking. What was it?
The crack chop.
We all eat each other's asses.
It's the eat my ass. The EMA. Tulo does
genius. Genius.
I'm gonna
have my side or Tulo's side. Are you on my side?
Next finishing move is gonna be called the life rips.
Well, Tulo's, that's something I'm working on. I'll be honest. I'm looking to get Tulo to wrestle Chris D'Elia in a tattoo. Who pays for the tattoo removal match?
Yeah. On a pole.
On a pole match.
In a which one is which match?
It's Seth Rollins, Chris D'Elia, Tulo. Triple threat for a who is who match. They're wearing Spider-Man. They're wearing the Spider-Man suits, and they're pointing at each other. Anyway. There's a lot of all right. We didn't cover that much wrestling in this pod, did we?
No. 50% wrestling.
Christina says we did.
You heard what you heard.
Can we get a chart going of because we know it's 72% wrestling, right?
Right. We on got average.
Average 72% wrestling, 2%, 0.25% politics, right? Uh-huh. 2% Long Island nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a comedian. Oh, 0.5% DuckTales.
That's a pretty big percentage.
Any other? What else did we talk about today?
Peter Pitt.
Yeah, Peter Pitt. There's a little bit of Peter Pitt. Oh, Peter Pitt. Anyway, whatever. I like Orlando's my favorite Mania town so far. I love Orlando. And anyway. I've never been to a Vegas Mania. That was SummerSlam. Anyway, people, I'll be announcing the stuff for the show. And if there is a show, it is, if there is one. And then what's going on with all right, Newman, before we go. But we have to talk about Buddy Matthews. That's the last thing I want to
say. Oh, right.
So we have to talk about this. I was like, fuck, I don't want to say this. Buddy Matthews, and by the way, listen to the bonus episode. I made some great points about how they're working us into thinking that we want Edge versus AJ. I'll point you over to the bonus episode for that. One of the great works of Mania is pretending that this is the match that we've all been dying to see. And it is a match we'll have, but it's not a match that we're dying to see. Watch the seeds they're planting. Don't get worked into thinking like, this is the match I always wanted. You've never thought about this match, okay? You've never thought about it. All right. But what anything with the Buddy Matthews thing, a couple questions. One, do you think he switches his gear up next week? He wore his old gear here and then before he's converted.
Yes.
Was the stomp of Penta a conversion ceremony?
Yes. Because Brody King, Malakai Black, I don't know what he said to him, but he was like, remember, I think he was saying like, remember me or remember something. And then Brody King is shouting, honor him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was fully a satanic ritual.
It was so good. Cause remember when I wanted Seth, who I'm officially putting Seth in the Jabron zone.
It was during Dynamite. We were talking about this.
I was saying, I wanted the curb stomp baptism when he was the Monday Night Messiah, right? And I was like, what a great idea. And essentially, Aleister, who's Malakai, who's living up to every expectation we've had of him as a wrestler and more, right, has done it. And, like, he is, like, the guy who I want. Hangman Malakai is the next thing once Adam Cole is relegated back to the mid-card where he belongs. He posted a shirtless shirt. I was about to post. I'm gonna post it today. It's my shirt off next to Adam Cole. Just to, I'm just gonna post that up. Just so you know what I mean. Let's put this guy in his place already.
Yeah. Let's put this in perspective. This is one huge man.
I'm so much bigger than that guy. Fuck that guy. He's got some nerve. He's got some nerve thinking.
He's gonna hear this. He's such a nice guy. Probably.
He's such a nice guy. That all my friends are like. Oh, I'm friends with Adam Cole. My friends are like, he's such a nice guy.
I love Adam Cole, but yeah.
I'm struggling with him. I got to be honest. Well, come on here. I got to be honest. You know what I mean? Yeah. I have to be honest when he, and I think people deserve it, is.
I honestly think a better lane for him would be, like, he's like a naturally inclined heel, right? Because of the way he looks and the way he's like his build and stuff. But like, he is a very funny genuine dude in like interviews and then like in that up down down stuff when he's just kind of riffing and improvising, like he gets comedy, like he can tell. But like, so like a more not funny but a more lighthearted good guy or like baby face might be more interesting for him than just the like I'm the best.
Yeah, then I'm flicking through my feed and it's like him with the headphones on playing video games and I'm just like, oh my god, like it doesn't fit him at all. If you want to be the Panama City like bad boy, then like go out and fucking get fucked, baby. You know what I mean? Like
get an STD.
Yeah, like you know what I mean. Like no, you're married to a dentist, which is more traditional than my Jewish parents. You know what I mean? Like the guy's sitting at home playing video games, married to a dentist. He hangs out with two guys named Red Dragon. Right? You know what I mean? He says "bay bay," and then he says "boom." I mean, none of it makes any sense. It's nothing. It's like truly nothing. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know what else to say. He's the most overrated guy. Hangman, let's compare him to Anxious Millennial Cowboy. What a great gimmick. He's got a moveset that fits a cowboy. He's got an over-the-top lariat. He's a guy you believe he could come out on a horse. He dresses like a cowboy. He's got the cowboy gimmick boots. You know what I mean? And he's like a likable, right out of the cast of Yellowstone. You know what I mean? Right. Like, boom, I know what to do with this guy. You know what I mean? Right. And it's like, and he's not even like my favorite or anything. But compared to Adam Cole, who's just coasting on catch race. Now, the argument against it is hodgepodge wrestlers like The Rock. The Rock's like a guy who everything he said, none of it makes any sense. When he was a wrestler, he made no sense. He's like, he's got a Brahma bull. He likes pie. He's kind of an Elvis impersonator also,
I don't think
right?
It was that he liked pie.
He did a whole thing. He would always talk about how he liked pie. He'd go, yeah, do you like pie?
Yeah, but...
It was like a vag innuendo, obviously. You know what I mean?
Wu-Tang
pie. I understand
about,
that. But
it was
about
pussy. It wasn't about pie.
Yeah, but he's called The Rock. Like, he really didn't make that much sense. Like, he's made the most sense after wrestling, where now he's into mana and hustle porn. It makes
my
way
brain,
more sense, you know
my
what
brain,
I mean?
You said The Rock, and my brain just instinctually made my eyebrow go up. I didn't even, I just clocked that on myself. I was like, why did I put my eyebrow up? It just like came across my face.
I watched Hogan Rock at 18. I showed it to Christina and, just to be like, hey, I just want you to like see how over like a wrestling, how much a wrestling crowd can be like part of the show, you know?
Right.
Like, you watch this match, Hogan can really barely move, you know, really? Right. And The Rock has to, like, oversell everything, and he's the one who's jumping over the ropes. And Hogan does his best in this match, too. He looks awesome, though. He's so just juiced to the gills. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, he's so tan. He looks another. It's problematic the way he looks, you know?
He's darker than The Rock.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's whatever. You know? And I think going back, he probably regrets, if you go back and look at that match, he probably regrets not wearing the yellow. You know, like, he's doing, like, NWO, and it's, like, way past NWO times. Yeah.
Well, yellow and orange tend to clash.
His skin color? Yeah. Hot. Well, he's more hot dog red.
But, yeah, that's true.
That's what they talk about.
Dog dick red. That's the new Crayola crown color. Introducing.
Skin color's dog dick red.
Dog dick red.
The crowd is the best part of this match. They go insane for every punch. Like, they sell every punch right. with cheers. And this is so dead. If you watch WWE now, they got a guy, like, putting in fake sound effects. They go up and down. And sometimes they abruptly bring it down, and it's so fucking awkward, you know? Yeah. And it's fucking embarrassing. And that's why AEW rules, because the crowd's just Ooh. Genuinely excited to be there.
That goes back to my sort of question of, like, does the audience, being that the audience is such an integral part of the show, does the audience at large have a responsibility to the show to react the way the show wants them to react?
I mean, that's, you know what? That's an interesting, we've talked about that before. That is a really interesting part of it. But WWE doesn't really do much to get the crowd. Like, they don't do much to help them. They hype them in the beginning. Like, we're going on the air.
Right.
But I guess what could they really do? You want to have, like, applause signs, like a studio audience? You know,
it just occurred to me, the way to do that is kind of, it's like what AEW does, or like what good wrestling does, which is like the smart way to do it is, if you just put on a good show, then the audience will agree to do that anyway. You know what I mean?
I don't think you can, like, have expectations of your audience,
right?
You know? Like, well, I don't think it's just not even if it's like they should, then you just sound like one of these internet marks who's like, you should do this, you should do, like,
well, yeah, but that's what,
like,
I'm saying.
You should ban WWE because they let Cesaro go. It's like, we don't know anything about what happened there. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, it also not even on the list of bad things WWE is guilty of. but like, no, what I mean is, like, if you, the only way maybe to do it is, or to sort of, make sure that the audience reacts the way you want them to, is to just put on an entertaining show, and then they'll do that.
Well, I think a lot of that also lies on the wrestlers and their, how they connect to the crowds, right? I think that's why, like, Adam Cole,
baby,
in his matches, crowds are always into it, right? They're from the start, from when he comes out, he's into it. So he's found a way to, like, get the crowd into his matches, right? I think that's where he shines the most. Right. He connects with the live audience better than pretty much all wrestlers out there, right? So he's able, you know, when things are going to happen, people are on their feet. Orange Cassidy, perfect example. Got those, the hands in the pockets, the things. He knows how to get a crowd to get up on their feet and scream, right? So I think AEW allows that. I'll also go as far as say, even like in a Bryan Danielson, Lee Moriarty match, I mean, they're doing grappling moves and the crowd's going fucking nuts for it, right? Yeah, so
that's a good example. That kind of match is the kind of match where, like, a smart audience will know. To
and here's
sort of,
the right. Here's a perfect example, because then it was Danielson versus Garcia, and the crowd wasn't popping the same way for the Lee match, and they were doing very similar things. So it has a big obligation of where they're wrestling and how the crowd's. What, like, you can always tell an AEW crowd off the get, like, oh, this is going to be a crowd that's going to be, you'll see the whole front row will be standing, the whole, like, lower section will be standing the whole entire time.
I mean, it's really, like, it's, when you think about it, it's all about the boom, right?
Yeah. It's all about the boom, baby.
Interesting, too, because I bet you that it's because they're not seat fillers like in WWE.
Correct. Yes.
There are people who are there from that town who bought tickets to be in the front row of that show, not, you know, Make-A-Wish people and their family. Sitting front row because they
the guy dressed as Orange Cassidy in the front row it bought that ticket because he knows what he's doing.
Right. Yeah, he's because his he was life, paid to do it. His life is going great.
Yeah,
great.
I mean, I could clarify it all. I'm having fun a little bit with Adam Cole. I do think Adam Cole deserves a title run just to see what he can do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And people love him. Like, you guys all like him. All I say is I don't get it, but he's definitely earned his spot and his keep. But you know what I mean? I didn't, you know, that just, it's kind of as simple as that. You know what I mean? And I'm just a little bit like, it really just doesn't really work for me, you know? But so many wrestlers on AEW do work for me. You know, it's fucking great. Like, I'm really feeling Jade right now, you know?
Oh my God. Incredible. Wrestled her best match easily was this last match.
Who'd she wrestle again? I remember we watched it together.
The Bunny.
Yeah. I like Allie. She, like, I feel like she works hard, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. She sells, she'll take the bumps. She was a perfect opponent for Jade. Like, it was, there wasn't a single misstep in that whole entire match.
This is completely.
I feel like Tay and Sammy, they got to turn them heel, right?
This is completely off topic. 100%. Completely off topic. But Julia Hart is still wearing the eye patch. She posted something on Instagram recently, like today, wearing, like, with the eye patch. I have to believe something is still going on and is still going to happen.
Something is going on, people.
Like, it can't – there's no way that Malachi – that Tom Budgen is like, yeah, I'm going to let that loose end just go. I don't give a fuck about that. There's no world in which that's true.
I can I say something? I still stand by. We need Malachi to have like his seance segment or whatever. He needs a segment.
Right.
You know, he needs something where he's addressing the people about what he's attempting to do here. And right. like we see it happening. I think now is a perfect time for that too. It's like now he's accumulating people. It's bubbling up. You don't want to say too much, but we need something because I like when he was like doing the House of Black stand-up.
Picture this. Lights go off.
Yeah. Okay. Should I close my eyes?
Yeah. Close your eyes.
Okay.
Lights go down.
Okay. Well, my eyes are closed. Should I close my eyes when you say lights go down? Because then it'll give more of the effect.
If that helps.
Okay,
yeah.
So lights go down.
Lights go down. Lights go down. There is a like a sort of symphonic, satanic church music starts playing. Right? Lights, spotlight hits. There's Malachi Black shrouded in shadow and fog. He makes his way down to the ring accompanied by like various like women in like the like horned masks and like pagan like children like throwing like dead rose petals all over like at his feet as he's walking and he takes the ring and he addresses he's like all rise for the sermon of the House of Black
rising. Brody King is like roughing people up.
Yeah, there's like a mark. There's like
don't
a
rise. Right.
Yeah, there's like a marks in the audience. Like. Yeah. He's like, get up, you know, standing him up.
Yeah.
And then he just talks that shit, dude. That's the way it has to happen. Yeah. I need a full lights up. I need like a full pagan fucking just earth god ceremony to happen.
I have something to bring up.
Yes, please.
He went to go use the mist. Oh. Penta blocked it. Yes. Swallowed the mist. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that's got to be no bueno.
Right. What happened last time? That happened.
I still had my eyes closed talking about that.
It's all good. You're into it.
I know what you were doing there, and yeah. I literally visualized that whole entire thing, and it was perfect. And I will say this, that vignette that they did where they kind of just like fade off. I mean,
fade to black.
We are on the precipice of something really special with Malachi Black, and I think. Even if Julia Hart, it's just she got blinded and the patch comes off and she's healed, whatever. Right. But we know that those kind of people aren't the same. So like down the road, we might see something. But
that patch is coming off. That patch is coming off, my guy. And there's going to be a red eye underneath it.
That would be dope.
And she's going to stand next to Malachi Black with the other red eye. And it's going to be like, oh, it's the fucking other aspect. It's the feminine. It's going to be so dope.
I would love if they did like an actual seance in the ring with the candles around him and something like some kind of crazy thing happens.
Well, last time it got blocked, right? Last time the mist got blocked, it corrupted him further.
Yeah,
right?
It was like eating, eating him up from inside. Like the, he was came out the next week. He was like coughing still, you know?
Right.
But I don't think it was blocked that time. I think it was just like something was happening.
Something prevented him from doing it, and he ingested it. And I think his like makeup gimmick got more intense after that happened. I think.
Yeah.
But then we have the thing with his mask. Like his mask has changed. It's like a black skull now, a full face, and then he has the half human face, and then a full human face. Shit.
I would like to see him
in that. That ladder match, I think that's a great place for
him. I would love to see him giving a black mask to Adam Cole.
Yeah.
That's it.
Sure. I would love to see that too.
The Sin Eater?
Well, to be honest, I've not seen enough Sin Eaters. You know what I mean? I've not seen.
That's true. I like that he's like kind of not doing it all the time, but yeah, it's such a sick move.
He's so awesome. I mean, he really is. It's a bummer that him and the Undertaker.
You know what we didn't talk about also? How fucking Jack Jericho was.
Oh yeah, Jericho lost 50 pounds in a week.
They did the reversing. They gave him the Irishman filter.
I think it was the shoe polish that he put in his hair.
Oh,
had HGH in it to grow his hair better.
Hair growth hormone,
and it just got into his system. And he went, and he was just fucking yoked.
I need to get some of that fucking.
Yeah, let's get that. I need that.
I need that.
Jericho looks completely different week to week. He looks great and then terrible and then great and terrible.
What if there's multiple Jerichos?
It's possible.
Yeah.
Multiple Undertakers back in
Jericho Plicity?
Yeah, Jericho Plicity.
All right, I got to go,
I like
folks.
Pizza Steve. I like Pizza Steve.
I like turtles. Anyway, guys, we had a nice time.
We almost ended that pod, and then we just decided to go on for like 20 more minutes.
Because we were actually started talking about wrestling.
That's ooh, Buddy happened. Murphy.
Buddy Matthews. But yeah, interesting shit going on. We're on the chode to WrestleMania. It's just not.
You're not going to make that a thing.
It's not a thing. I don't want that to catch on. When Tulo puts the mask on, it's a thing.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, my God.
We're on the chode to WrestleMania, guys.
Tulo, you're late. Oh, no one's working mouth.
Oh, man, I guess, what do? Go home?
No, you need to get on mouth.
Oh, no problem, fellas.
Get on mouth. No one's blowing at this party.
No, it's a frightening lack of blowjobs at this orgy.
All right.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, all right, everybody. Have fun at your orgies, everybody. Patreon.com/MeansWrestling. More details about the show. My interview with Stu's Wood. I got to put that out. I got to figure out what to record with him. More info comes to him. Everybody, hey, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.